I speak to you in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Well, it is great to be with you here at St. Faith's, as close to worshiping together as is possible at the moment. I've come to St. Faith's many times over the years, and it is a great delight for me to be here as your bishop. I really do thank you for the invitation. I'm very appreciative of the ministry of Adam as he settles into his role as rector here. A very difficult time in a pandemic to adjust to a new parish, but clearly he is doing great things. I'm also very appreciative of Melanie as well for her time during the interim, as well as with St. Hildegard's. St. Faith's is well served by these two capable leaders, and I know they appreciate the support and the care that you offer to them. I do hope that all of you are keeping well. I hope that many of you are already vaccinated or will soon be vaccinated. Like you, I pray for a speedy end to this pandemic so that we can be with one another once again. On this Sunday, the fifth Sunday of the season of Easter, there are many themes that seem to come to the surface today as we heard a little bit more of Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples, which is all part of the Last Supper in John's Gospel. Last week, if you remember, there was an emphasis on sheep and the Good Shepherd. This week, it is more focused on the true vine and the vine grower, on producing fruit that is related to the true purposes and the calling of life. Jesus emphasized the word abide numerous times. And that is the word I'd like to dwell on a little bit for this morning. What does it mean to abide and to abide in Christ? Earlier this year, I was attracted to an article in the New York Times written by Marzina Skubets entitled "Monitoring the Weather at the Edge of the World." With that for the title and a number of beautiful, if rather bleak, photographs, I was hooked, and I had to read more. These are the first words of the article. It all started with a single sentence in a blog post about Iceland. A farmer is looking for a support at a weather station and sheep farm. She said it was 2012, and after studying photography in the industrial German city of Dortmund, I was ready for a change. She said, I'd long planned on visiting Iceland, and when I read about the secluded farm, everything came together. She said, I replied to the post and landed the job, sold most of my things and booked my flight. Marcibel Erland's daughter, the farmer and the weather station attendant, picked me up at the small airport near Iceland's easternmost edge. She said the drive to the weather station took nearly 2 hours through snow-covered mountain passes alongside waterfalls, past reindeer and empty summer homes. As we neared our destination, the road grew narrower and rough. She said, finally, we arrived at the end of an isolated fjord where a small yellow lighthouse appeared in the distance. Welcome to the end of the world, Miss Erland's daughter said, laughing. The article went on to say that the area becomes especially inaccessible in the winter months when the daylight lasts only a few hours and the lighthouse's constantly spinning beam cuts through the darkness. For months on end, the farm is blanketed in snow and the sounds are muted, except for the sound of the surrounding sea. In winter, the crushing waves become progressively wilder and the wind ever stronger, the weather conditions less predictable. The author goes on to describe more about the weather and the meteorological station and the farm in these harsh conditions. But the article ends with how the farmer's daughter describes her mother living on her own in such a remote and forgotten and desolate and barren place. She said, "Here she feels free. Here she feels free." The photographs in the article and the descriptions of such bleak and isolated living got my attention. But the final written words set my mind to considerable thought. Despite all, here she feels free. Where are those places that you feel most free? Where are those places that you know that you are right where you are supposed to be? Where are those places where you encounter not the clutter of life, but room to be fully alive and grounded and centered? Where are those places where God is known to you? You can hear God's voice and God's calling. Where are those places of spiritual encounter or holy wonder for you? Today in the gospel reading, Jesus used the word abide to speak to this, and more specifically, these words, abide in me and I will abide in you, Jesus said. In the passage from 1 John, we heard this, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. This is where those final words of the article about a remote and removed weather station in Iceland took me. Here she feels free. To me, this seemed connected to that deepest craving that all human beings have, the deep desire to know God's presence and love abiding with them and within them. Abide in me as I abide in you, Jesus said. Abide can be defined in a few different ways, but it usually refers to remaining, continuing in a particular condition, attitude, or relationship. To tolerate or to put up with, to persevere. It's also closely related to abode or place to stay. I like this range of meaning. Abide in me. Live in me. Persevere in me. Continue in me as I continue in you. Dwell in me. Remain in me. Persist in me, and I will persist in you. May your place of abode be in me as mine will be in you. These words suddenly make a big difference. It's about a deep and holy encounter with the risen Christ. You see, if our faith is only about the events of Easter that took place long, long ago, then we're missing Jesus' point. If God is not present and known to us today, then the words of our Bible are only important in terms of history. The problem with writing things down and placing them in a book is the assumption that can be that that was the end of the book. But we are being called, invited, prodded, to enter into a deeper relationship with the one who also abides in us. We are being nudged and awakened and encouraged to understand more fully how God comes to us and urges us into an understanding that God is not distant from us, but intimately known to us. that when we abide in God, we discover God abiding in us. Abide in me as I abide in you, Jesus said. Faith in the risen Jesus Christ is discovering more about his presence within us, not just in this place of worship, or in the words of Scripture, or in our prayers, but within us, in our hearts and our souls. In that place within, where the line between God and us starts to feel very thin. That place where the resurrected Jesus still comes to us to sit and wonder with us about the deeper purposes of life. For it is that relationship with us that God craves, that Jesus called the kingdom of heaven, that the Holy Spirit still invites us into, transforming our lives and our motives and our actions to be holy and vibrant and soul-feeding. We are not called to live this life alone, but in God's presence and with God's hope coursing through our very veins. In the gospel reading today, Jesus compared it to a branch bearing fruit only if it abides in the vine. That word, abide, again. Thomas Merton once wrote, "True Christianity is growth in the life of the Spirit, a deepening of the new life, a continuous rebirth in which the exterior and superficial life of the ego self is discarded like an old snakeskin, and the mysterious, invisible self of the Spirit becomes more present and more active." He said the true Christian rebirth is a renewed transformation, a Passover, in which a person is progressively liberated from selfishness and not only grows in love, but in some senses becomes love. Abide in me as I abide in you, Jesus said. On a winter-bound weather station and farm in a remote part of Iceland, the description of what that life is like for the farmer was, "Here she feels free." To me, this speaks of humanity's deepest quest of discovering more about the one who first breathed life into us, into this world, and new life into Christ at the resurrection. This one is calling us into a relationship to discover more about abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us. Where do you know about this place and this encounter? Amen.